Well, it is really good to be among you. You are warm, loving people, and I just enjoy that so much. My name is Ed Owens. I grew up in Lansing, Michigan, and after going through seminary and preaching in a few churches down south, where I met my beautiful wife, who's homesick today. Sorry, she couldn't be here with me. We moved back to Lansing, and I pastored the Olivet Baptist Church for 34 years. This June, end of June, I retired, and now I work part-time for the region of ABC of Michigan. So I want to bring today greetings to you from Dr. Michael Williams. He's not only my new boss, but he's my friend. And he sends his greetings, and we are praying especially for Chris during this period of time as he's going through so many difficulties. I know that there's a question you have in your mind right now. I know this because everywhere I go, people ask me this. Well, there's basically three questions. How's the weather up there? Did you ever play basketball? And how tall are you? So I'll answer the last one, just so you get it out of your mind. I'm 6'7". So now that we got that out of the way, I want to tell you a little story. There was three men who went duck hunting together. One was a preacher, one was a doctor, and one was a lawyer. And so one morning they're out there in the duck blind and they're enjoying one another's company, and a solo duck flies overhead, and all three of them raise their rifles and shoot at it, and they hit it. And the duck falls into the weeds. So they begin to argue about who hit it and who got to have that duck. Well, the doctor began to explain that he had hit it. You know, he had clear eyes so he could do surgery, and he obviously could see things, and he must have been the one that hit it. The lawyer, he argued his best case, just like he would in courtroom. It must have been his bullet that shot that duck, and it was his duck to take home. Of course, the preacher couldn't be outdone, and he waxed eloquently for about an hour, like I'm going to do this morning. Finally, the doctor says, you know, I have spent my life examining bodies. I'm going to go find that duck, I'll examine it, and then I'll tell you who hit that duck. So he goes off into the weeds, and he finds a duck, and he examines it. He comes back and says, the preacher hit it. Well, he said, what do you mean? It went in one ear and out the other. And I know that is so very true so often. I know that because I have sometimes referred to a sermon I preached on and people give me a blank eye, a blank look like, you preached on that? I don't remember that. So because of that, I think we ought to start with prayer because perhaps something will stick. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence today. We come humbly as children, children who are needy, children who are living our lives but realize that there is so much more. There's so much more that you want to teach us. There's so much more you want to express to us. There's so much love that you want to give us. And yet, Father, sometimes we are blind. Sometimes we are not able to receive as much as you want to give us. So as we come before you and before your open word today, we ask that your Holy Spirit will bring these truths not only into our minds, but deep into our hearts, that we might love you and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There has been a Bible text which has captivated my heart and mind for several months now, and I have looked at that passage, and I've thought about it and meditated on it over and over again. And I'd like to share that with you, but I'd like to begin by reading a verse in chapter 12, verse 1 of Romans. And the text I'm going to look at in particular is Romans 12, 11, but let's start with 12, 1. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Can you relate to that scripture at all? Do you remember a time when you dedicated yourself to Jesus Christ? You laid yourself out on that altar and said, God, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you ask of me. I want to follow you. I want to be your servant. I love you, Lord. And you're there and you're excited about your new life in Jesus Christ. Anybody here a sports fan? Anybody like the Detroit Tigers? Some Tiger fans. Anybody excited about MSU football? How many of you are U of M football fans? Yeah, I figured you'd have a few of those over here in this part of the country. You know, sometimes we get real enthused about our sports team, don't we? I should have gone to bed early last night, but I had to watch that game. I just had to see whether my alma mater, Michigan State, won on the football field, and I noticed that University of Michigan won. Early in the seasons, we always get excited, especially about the Tigers this year. Didn't you, as the baseball season began, there were high hopes, enthusiastic. Everybody went out to the ballpark. We all watched on TV. We're going to win the World Series this year. And then as the season unwinds, particularly this year, if you're a Tiger fan, it got pretty hard to watch those games at the end, didn't it? Because they were getting clobbered. They were terrible. And I wasn't real excited anymore about the Detroit Tigers. We lose enthusiasm about things that once we were enthusiastic about. And that's true also, and it's not because God disappoints us, but for some reason, we have a hard time maintaining enthusiasm about anything. And there was that time when you were on that altar. The Bible says that we are like living sacrifices, and I'm sure you've heard this before. Living sacrifices sometimes squirm and get off that altar. And that's probably been true about us as well. We've lost momentum. We've lost that fervor for God. We've lost that excitement and enthusiasm that we once had for our Lord. And so when we come to the 11th verse in this chapter, we realize that God has a desire for us because he gave us this group of commandments. And in verse number 11, it says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. It's nice that he gave us that word. He's saying to you and for me, be fervent for the Lord. Don't be lazy. Be fervent. And I looked up that verse as I began to think about that. And I literally what it says is boil in spirit. Boil in spirit. Of course, in Greek, you had to supply the indefinite article, the or a. So it could be translated be boil in the spirit. Now, what in the world does he mean by that? That you and I are supposed to boil in the Spirit. I got to thinking about that. And one thing I don't think it is, I don't think it's just about emotion. I don't think it primarily is about emotion. And I hope that's true because my ancestry goes back to Wales. And we're not real emotional people. My family wasn't real emotional. And if I had to be real emotional all the time about God, then, you know, it'd be harder for me than it might be for you. Some of you are more emotional than I am? Maybe? No? Well, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's hard to maintain emotions. But I do believe it's about having a passion for God. A passion that isn't just about emotions, but it's about our all-out commitment to following him and our love and devotion to him, that we want to serve him with everything that is within us. It's not first and foremost about being passionate about our church, though our church is important because it's the body of Christ. But it's about our passion for God, our love for Him. There are a lot of important things in our life. There are things you like to do. There are things which, yes, they have some importance to them. And sometimes we get excited about those things. But that is not what our first passion should be about. Our first passion, in the words of Jesus, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the early church started off loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. My devotions this last few weeks, I've been reading through the book of Acts. And the church was on fire for God. They loved God. But you read later on in the New Testament, you come to the book of Revelation. Is that your favorite book, Revelation? In the first couple, three chapters, chapter 2 and 3, are a description of seven different churches. And in those churches, we find a picture of a church which had begun with great passion for God, but in many cases had lost that passion. In Ephesus, it talks about how they were concerned about having proper doctrine, and it is important to interpret Scripture rightly and to believe the right things, because if you don't, you'll go off in the weeds. They were busy people. They were active people. And I'm sure that many of you are doing a lot of stuff here in this church, right? You are active. And yet there was something that was missing. And he says to them, repent and return to your first love. They had lost their passion for God. They were no longer boiling in the Spirit. A little later on, we read about another church called Laodicea. Now, Laodicea was a church that had great wealth. And they'd use some of that wealth because down the road a ways, there was this spring that had hot water coming out of it. And so they built an aqueduct from that next town over where the spring was, and they brought the hot water through this aqueduct to their town because back then they believed that bathing in hot water was very healthy for you. They thought it had healing properties. And so they wanted that hot water in their city. And they brought it back to their town. But by the time it had traveled from one town to the next through that aqueduct, it had lost its heat and it became lukewarm. And John, when he writes that, and Jesus, when he says this to the church, he says, you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm and I want to spit you out of my mouth. You think you're rich, but you're poor and naked. You see, they had lost their first love. They had lost their passion for God. They had no longer followed the commandment which said, boil in the Spirit. Since I began a position with the region, I work with churches who are looking for new pastors, and I'm not here today because you're looking for a new pastor. Just want to assure you of that. But I go around to different churches. I get to preach, and I will talk to church leadership, help them with the process of searching for a new pastor. I really am enjoying that. I get to preach every week at a different church, and I meet a lot of good people. I meet a lot of people who are committed to their church. I meet people who are concerned about their church because many of our churches are shrinking and struggling, and some are dying. But one thing I don't see a lot of times, and I'm not making a comment about you at all, but one thing I don't see in a lot of our churches is people who are boiling in the Spirit. I also work as a volunteer, but I am the chairman of a national organization called Holy Spirit Renewal Ministries. We put on a conference every year at Green Lake, Wisconsin, and people from all over the country come to this conference. We also do regional conferences. Last year, we did the regional meeting here for American Baptists of Michigan. A month ago, we were in Flint at Mount Olive. Next month, we're going to Montana. Our whole goal is in a non-divisive way to bring to people renewal, that they will boil in the Spirit, that churches and people will again have that passion for God. And we have speakers that go out and try to encourage people in that way. Why is this so important? Why does he command us to boil in the Spirit as we serve the Lord? Well, let me give you a couple reasons, I think. For the last 12 years, I have organized a bicycle trip with some pastors from Michigan and a couple guys from New York. And every year we take a week-long bicycle trip. And this year we were traveling from Copper Harbor all the way to, we ended up at Paradise, Michigan. And it takes us 6 days, and we just have the greatest time together, riding each day on the bicycles and spending the nights eating too much food and getting ice cream and those kinds of things. And just it's just a great time with everybody. And Dr. Williams is one of our guys, and we just enjoy that time together. I got to thinking as I was traveling and got towards the end of the week, I was missing being home, and I began to wonder and think about, I wonder how my wife is going to respond to me when I come home. I've been gone a week, and I wonder when I come through that door what she's going to say or what she's going to do. And I had, you know, I might come through the door and she'll say, oh, you're here. Will you take out the garbage? Oh, you're finally back. I couldn't reach the thing in the tall cupboard up there. Could you get that for me? I was kind of hoping that when I came back, she'd be a little excited about seeing me. I was kind of hoping she would leave whatever she was doing and run to me as much as a young lady can do and come and give me a big hug. Say, I'm so glad that you've come back. Men, isn't that exactly what you want? Don't you want your wife to get a little excited about when she sees you? Women, don't you want your husbands to get a little excited about you when they see you? I don't have any response coming on here. Have I missed it altogether? Am I the only one that would feel a little better if my wife got excited about seeing me after being gone a week? Think so? Okay. How do you think it makes God feel when we become kind of blasé about our relationship with him? How do you think it makes him feel when we come to church and we kind of go through the motions? We got other things on our mind, and we're less than passionate about our love and our expressions of worship to God. How do you think it makes him feel? How do you think it would make him feel if we were boiling in the Spirit? If day by day and Sunday by Sunday as we gather together, we were boiling in the Spirit. We came with a deep passion and desire to know him, to love him, and to experience his presence. You know, frankly, I think when we boil in the Spirit, we bring honor to God. And when we get lackadaisical about our relationship with him, that we dishonor him. Secondly, who wants to be around people who have no passion? I mean, have you ever heard a speaker, and hopefully you're not thinking about right now, and you listen to them and you say, boy, that's boring. That person isn't excited about what they're talking about. They have no passion for what they're talking about. Why would I get excited about what they're saying? I think that for many of our American Baptist churches, if we rediscovered what it meant to boil in the Spirit, that would be an attractive thing. People would want to be a part of us. They would get excited about what we're excited about. And I think our problem so many times is that we have lost that passion. We are not boiling in the Spirit, and others can tell it, and they're more aware of it than we are. And so the command comes to us again, boil in the Spirit. And that's the third reason why I think it's important that we boil in the Spirit, is because if for no other reason, he told us to. And it wasn't just a suggestion. These are a set of commands. He says, boil in the Spirit. Now, most of you here today have grandkids, but even if we all have grandkids, there's a few kids around here, you remember, don't you? When you told your kids to do something, they jumped up and did it, right? They didn't? Well, they should have, because if you commanded them, go clean your room right now. Well, my kids did some of the time, and I hope yours did do as well. But when there's a command, we need to do it, because he's God and we're not. But the other part of this verse says, don't be lazy. If you put it in vernacular, it's don't be a lazy butt. Don't be lazy. Do you ever feel lazy? You know, I'm 65, and I don't have as much energy as I used to have. When I was young, I was just full of energy. I could not stop. I'd work all day long. I'd come home and I'd work all evening, work in the yard, doing all kinds of stuff, go out and play basketball, do all kinds of fun stuff. I just had all kinds of energy. But there's something about getting a little older. Sometimes we feel a little lazy sometimes, don't we? I thought when I retire, I'm going to have to take care of myself. I need to keep in good shape so I can stay strong over the years. And right down the street from me is a gym. And so I joined the gym, and I thought every other day I'll go over there and I'll work out for an hour, and it'll just make me stronger, and hopefully I'll live longer. Can you just imagine how many times I actually go to the gym? Sometimes I just get lazy. Can anybody at all identify with that? Well, finally, I found something you can identify with. It is spiritually hard to keep yourself boiling in the Spirit. It's easy for us to get lazy. If we rely upon emotions, those emotions will drain. But it's hard for us to keep that passion and focus upon God, to put him first, to make him a priority, to live every day as if he is most important, because he is. But the Bible tells us, and this is a command, don't be lazy, boil in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. I woke up when I read the scripture and began to meditate on it, because it is saying to me, I have at least partial responsibility for whether or not I'm boiling in the Spirit. I used to just kind of think, well, maybe some days I feel more like loving God than other days. And I just kind of went up and down. But this word says to me, Don't be lazy. Boil in the Spirit. And I realize that I have some responsibility for whether or not I maintain a passion for God. So the big question came in my mind, and perhaps in yours, is how can I keep boiling in the Spirit? And I know this is probably something everybody tells you, but it's true. One thing that helps is staying in God's Word. The more you read the Scriptures, the more it opens you up to how great God is, how wonderful He is, and how powerful His deeds are. And as you read that with an open heart and open mind day after day, it will help you to boil in the Spirit. And again, don't be lazy. We know the statistics. Christians do not read their Bibles very much. If you do, great. But probably most people around you don't. Don't be lazy. Boil in the Spirit. Soak yourself in the Word of God. Secondly, we have this opportunity to have this one-on-one relationship with God where we talk with Him and He talks with us. We can pray about our problems of lacking passion for Him, of not boiling in the Spirit. We can talk to Him about things that are going on in our lives. What a privilege that is, that we who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God can now come into His presence and have a relationship with God Himself. And I believe that as we cultivate a life of prayer, that God will help us, but don't be lazy. We've got to do something about that. And thirdly and lastly, I think what really helps is hanging around with others who are boiling. I mentioned that I'm a part of Holy Spirit Renewal Ministries, and the leaders of that group come from all over the country, and I have the privilege of kind of leading them. You know, they're all great leaders themselves. But when we get together, everybody has passion for God. And it just encourages me to be around them. We'll sit around and talk about something, and pretty soon somebody begins praying. And that prayer pretty soon turns into worship. And it's just invariable. We are talking together, praying together, worshiping together, loving the Lord together. You need to be around people who are boiling in the Spirit. I started some years ago a group of men. There's three of us all together. And every day we read the Scriptures. We have prayer time. And we journal about what God is doing and saying in our lives. During the day, if something comes up and we hear God speaking to us or leading us in some way, we write it down in our journals. At the end of the week, we get together for about 45 minutes. Each of us shares what God has been saying and doing in our life. After everybody's had a chance to share, then we each share what's the big thing we want prayer for this week? And the three of us pray for one another. I've got to tell you, being around those two other guys helps me keep boiling in the Spirit. In the same way, if you hang around people who are lackadaisical about their faith, it will begin to rub off on you. So what I'm suggesting to you is find some people who intentionally want to walk with you, who love God, and want to keep on boiling in the Spirit. In closing, I want to tell you a little bit about something I enjoy doing. I brought this bag with me. One of the fun things I like to do is I like to take a couple of these bags. They're called panniers. Got some clips on the back. You clip them on the back of your bicycle. I have a little sleeping bag, a little lightweight tent, a little sleeping pad. I throw in there a change of clothes. I put in there some a little bit of food, and I have this little kit here that I use to cook my meals. It's really lightweight. And I have a stove in here. I don't know if I can do this with my hands with a microphone, but I'll try. This is a stove. Can you believe that? And I pull out this propane tank here. I don't think I can do it one-handed. It just screws right inside of there. Put the pot on top of it. Throw in some water. Throw in some potato flakes or some other kind of soup or something. Cold day like tonight's going to be, I'll put in some hot chocolate. Get it boiling. And then I have my dinner on my trips. Now, can I just give you kind of a weird little invitation here? If you're going to be lazy, maybe we'll need a bigger pot, but maybe we can get this thing going here, and we can get it boiling, and I can just take care of the problem. I'll get you boiling, okay? Any takers? I don't think so. This passage keeps speaking to me. And what I keep asking is this question. And I invite you to ask the same question. Am I boiling in the Spirit? And I'll go through my days and I'll get distracted. I'll be doing things. And that question will come to the top of my mind again. Am I boiling in the Spirit? Am I boiling in the Spirit? And I want to ask you that question today. Are you boiling in the Spirit? Do you have a passion for God, which other people can see, which is attracting them to Jesus Christ because you love Him with all of your heart? If not, I want to pray for you today. You just bow your heads. And you may be at all different places in your life. Some of you, this may not apply to you at all. But perhaps today there's some of you who are saying, I've kind of got away from having a passion for God. I can't honestly answer the question, I'm boiling in the Spirit. If that's the case today, every head's bowed, just go ahead and raise your hand. I'll know to pray for you. You're indicating to God, God, I want to boil in the Spirit. God, I'm going to quit being lazy, and I'm going to boil in the Spirit. Anybody else today? Father, I thank you for those around this auditorium today who recognize their need and they respond to your command. And I pray for them and I pray for myself that I may be boiling in the Spirit for your honor and for your glory because you deserve our utmost. So we surrender ourselves before you. Help us this week, God, to boil in the Spirit with passion for you. In Jesus' name.